This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Al Gibson, he was moved from Norfolk to Aberdeen. And Jason, you saw him pitch yesterday.
Yeah, I did not know that that move was forthcoming when we went to see the Iron Birds. I'm glad it was. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it was like he overpowered the Brooklyn Mets, who are a high A team. That gun, I thought, was registering a little low, but on that gun in the stadium, he was, 88 to 92 quite a bit. He was super pitch efficient to start. As the outing went on, though, I felt like a lot of his off-speed pitches were coming out of his hand as a ball, and he wasn't even fooling righties with it. Like, early on, first couple times through the lineup, which moved pretty quickly, the righties really didn't seem to know what was going on. He was putting them away with off-speed stuff off the plate. And it did look a little bit, first six plate appearances did look like man versus boy. But then once they got a little feel for him and they realized that, okay, that really is what the velo was and this is the repertoire, there were four balls hit really hard. This kid, Jesus Baez, a young prospect for the Mets, destroyed a ball from the right side. I would say his effectiveness waned from about the fourth inning. He ended up going, six on 78 pitches. Was it better? Like, do I think Charlie Morton could have navigated that Brooklyn Cyclones lineup like Gibby did? Probably not. I was a little surprised, again, that the velo was where it was. I don't think he's probably entirely in pitching shape, but I also think this team's in crisis mode right now.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this.
That's why they moved him.
If he just threw 80 pitches to get that in, do I think it's out of the realm of possibility that he's pitching this weekend for the Baltimore Orioles, especially if other guys keep getting destroyed between now and then? I don't at all. Could he make one more start for the Norfolk Tides? Yeah, I'm not entirely convinced he will. I also think he's going to have a learning curve when he gets back to the majors, and he's going to have some sorting out to do. So, like, overall, I mean, do I wish I saw him facing a triple-A team instead of a high-A team to make sort of some conclusions? I do. It's a young high-A team. I mean, they're like, I would start him this weekend over Charlie Morton. I'll put it to you that way. I mean, that was my takeaway looking at one of those guys on my phone and watching this other guy three rows in front of my face. I think Kyle Gibson has more of a repertoire to try to compete right now. And I also think Charlie Morton shattered. There's a human element to this.
You brought up I'm glad you brought that up because, and I don't know how much you could see watching it on your phone, but I'm watching that game yesterday and I'm watching a guy that knows he can't get anybody out.
Yeah.
Like, he knows. Now, I don't know if it's fixable, and he seems like a great guy.
Yeah, I think he's super cerebral and really wanted to be the cherry on top of a great team.
Yes.
Not one of the many things cratering a bad team.
He's pitched the last three starts, and maybe all five starts for that matter. But he goes out there and he knows he doesn't have it. And
it's over.
And you see by everything he does, he knows he doesn't have it.
And I started pointing it out the second time through the Toronto lineup because they were sitting on the curveball. They wanted to see that curveball, and they destroyed that curveball. And I think it got into his head very early in that first start that, you know what, it's a lot of money, but I was thinking about hanging it up. I probably should have hung it up. This is a perfect day to pitch in a dome against the lineup we've come to find out is not that special. And they were destroying his moneymaker from the giddy-up. That was a problem. That was a huge red flag to me, and it's part of the reason we made as big of a deal out of it as we did. And it turns out we were right. I thought Kyle Gibson was pretty good. I thought he might have gone like 85 to 90 pitches. I wasn't sure if they were going to bring him out for another inning. They cut him off at 78. It was a clean break. You know, he came into the dugout, and we're kind of sitting there saying, I wonder. I'll say this. He works incredibly fast. I mean, it's ridiculous how quick he was on the mound.
Yeah.
Like, he's on the mound. Like, dude, most innings, he was on the mound before most of the Brooklyn Cyclones were in the dugout. Like, he was there to work quickly and show that, hey, I'm done. Like, I'm ready. I'm locked in. I'm ready. Again, the control wavered. Too many times the ball fluttered out of his hand, and even these kids were picking up on it. And it's like, I don't have to offer at that. There started to be some automatic balls, and they even, again, from the right side, they started to tattoo him a little bit the last couple innings. But
you don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I certainly don't think he needs to face another A-ball team, no matter what the schedule looks like. And he might not need to face another AAA team.
A couple of things. Number one, we want to hear from the people coming up at 345, 410-583-1057. We want to get your thoughts on this Baltimore Orioles team. We do have a poll out, and it's got a half hour left, so we've been remiss in not letting the people know. We posted this yesterday at IA1057, The Fan. Since the rebuild ended and the Orioles were legitimately looked at as contenders, 23 trade deadline, how would you grade the job GM Mike Elias has done building the Major League roster and taking it from a playoff contender to a true World Series contender? You have three options. A, he's been great. C, meh. And F, GM malpractice. Now, we've almost got 800 votes. And again, you've got about a half hour left to vote. Go to IA1057, The Fan, to vote. 55% of the people are grading him as an F, GM malpractice. C got 38%, meh. 7%, A, he's been great. So 93% of the people realize this thing has not been good since the 23 trade deadline.
I wish he was better at his job. And what I really wish is I wish he was less egomaniacal. I wish he was less selfish. I wish he really employed a growth mindset that he claims to want in his players. And I wish he would have had the self-awareness years ago to say, you know what? Because we were trying to tell him on air, we don't have the right checks and balances here. Some of our blank spots, our blind spots, are going to remain our blind spots if we don't get other people in here who look at this thing holistically different than we do. I don't need more number crunchers. I might need the Dean Albanys of the world back here. I might need to critically rethink how I'm assessing this, because if I keep thinking the market's always wrong, maybe I'm the one who's actually wrong. Maybe we're the ones who are actually wrong. Maybe I need a Dombrowski type. Maybe I need something else different in our model and how we're shaping this. But no, they've doubled and tripled and quadrupled down on what they believe in. And like I said before, you can draw a line from Cole Irvin to Rodgers, if Rodgers ever even throws again. You can draw a line in all these draft picks and what they've looked for. You can see that they have certain types, and they have certain things. And O'Neal being here the way a Dwight Smith was here, well, we think this guy can do one thing so well hitting that we can get beyond all the non-baseball things that he brings to the table. They're either not looking for it, don't know what they're looking at, or don't have enough checks and balances. But either way, to think that they were going to figure it out for themselves without ownership getting involved, I think was naive and silly, and it's now clear that they bamboozled that owner, and whenever he wakes up, it's probably going to be too late.
In light of Charlie Morton, and the fact is, talking to Jacob Calvin-Meyer, he's probably going to make at least one more start for this team. It's six-pack time, and it's a six-pack of the six most unserious things that this franchise has done. Baseball operate like with the on-field product, the six worst or most unserious moves that Mike Elias has made as GM of this baseball team. We'll give you our list next here on The Fan.